Friends, by now we have almost reached the eighth chapter of project management. For the first seven chapters, we've learned a lot, and I am sure this video series is going to help you a lot in terms of internalizing the entire concept of project management. Now, it's important that we start off with the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter talks about project data and requirement analysis and the final project definitions. Now, this chapter is going to take us through a lot of nitty-gritties of project management. And to begin with, let's have a look at this. It says till this time, the project is initiated with appointment of project manager. Now you have a project manager, basically. So if I take you through a story format, there was an idea. That idea got converted into some kind of data. That data got converted into who will be the people, how would it look like, and blah blah blah. And then you have a project manager who's the real lead of taking this thought process ahead. So now you have a project manager, you have a project charter which talks about answering all the six basic questions that we spoke about. You have a functional leader as a stakeholder, you have a program manager, you have the shareholders or the board of directors as the stakeholders. The project team are organized, acquired. You've reached up to that level where you've acquired people that you need to for this project. Develop and they're competent now. They have gone through training programs and now they're capable to execute the project. And that's exactly our next stage is all about, which is the next stage is assignment and managing the same, which is again more important because now the planning is almost coming to end and we're now moving into execution slowly and steadily. So, what are the learning objectives? To move ahead with an initiation stage, with scientific approach, we need to consolidate the input requirement received from every stakeholder. So now it's important, right? I mean, you've done so many things for it, and then now you're consolidating it, integrating it. Do you remember the word that I gave in you in the last chapter, which was integration? So now we're integrating everything that we have received from the stakeholders. Apart from this, of course, validate the competencies of people who are working with you. Now, when I say validating the competencies, I'm saying you got to verify whether the team members who are working with you are competent enough or no. So that's the stage that we are in now. Fulfill the shortcomings, if any. So you got to bridge that gap every time when you find that, okay, the skill set levels are not up to the marks. That's something that we'll have to work on now. The next is, of course, then take up the analysis for the same to arrive. A micro level input required for the next phase, that is cost estimation, budgeting, financial approvals, and beginning for investments if required. Simultaneously, we may start detailed planning of the project execution now. So now my project has been validated and I have complete information about it. My macro level plans are getting created or they have already been created now. Now it's point to get into the deeper nitty gritties of the micro level plan. Let's look at verification of the inputs requirements received from stakeholders for completeness. So what are we talking about? There's the clarification or information of data. If I just read through the slide for you, the clarification information/data, etc. required may be formal internal stakeholders or external stakeholders. To arrive at an explicit definition of a project, must be completed before moving ahead for a consolidation in order to avoid duplication or similar actions. So now when we say this, why is it important that I verify my information? Is because there's no duplication. I do not waste a lot of time because time is a crucial factor. And you remember I've been saying that it's called a triple constraint, your scope, your time and budgets. So time is integral important. And because it is integral important, you will have to verify that there's no duplication that's happening on the process. The most popularly followed method for this is to ensure that the completion of this within the project project is executed, executing an organization is. to circulate the list of clarifications. Now that's more important because I need to, if you remember, I've been talking in the communication plan also that you will have to circulate a lot of information every time. So list of clarifications, information data to be shared to all concerns and get the same. So you've got to constantly keep sharing data, information, numbers through various formats that you will have to keep sending to the stakeholders and getting the clarification from their point as well. To organize face-to-face discussion meetings for unresolved issues with the internal stakeholders, again crucial. Now it does not depend only for the internal stakeholders, but it also is for external stakeholders like your customers. So time to time, do have a visit, do have a discussion, face-to-face discussion with your internal and external customers. Now these face-to-face discussion need to have a specific agenda when you're talking. So I personally feel that while I'm going stage-wise, I would probably pick up one or two issues that I'll have to discuss and not everything at length, because everything at length, the objectivity goes on a toss. So important is while you actually going ahead and calling for a meeting which is face-to-face, ensure that you have an agenda of the meeting and a specific time that's been given to them. Record all unresolved issues. Now, not necessary, practically it's not possible to resolve all the issues in one go. So do record issues that are resolved and the accountability of it and the responsibility and when it's going to happen. So I call it as accountable, responsible and time matrix. So if there is an issue and it is resolved, who's responsible for that, for the occurrence, who's responsible for resolving it, who's accountable for the total process, and how much is the time that's been considered. So I use all the three mechanisms while you're resolving the issues and decide the time bound plan for action for the same. So the impact of these unresolved issues towards project scope or base or cost and delivery must be assessed, controlled and monitored if possible. So any unresolved issue might tomorrow affect my scope or my cost or my time. So I need to be very clear about how my cost is going to be hampered because of the unresolved issues, and how can I monitor and control them. So that goes into risk as well for you. So let's look at a project kickoff meeting. So what do you mean by project kickoff meeting? In case of clarification, data requirement from customers, a meeting with agenda shall be scheduled. Participants will be project manager, key stakeholders seeking the information, and customer representatives. Such a meeting is generally called as the project kickoff meeting. So in this, all of us as project team comes together to ensure that everybody's on the common page. And all these things are done in one room where all the relative stakeholders are involved into it. At this time, mostly all the stakeholders, at least the top stakeholders, are the part of it, of this meeting. Unresolved issues shall be recorded, and we've always said that. I've been saying that please record your unresolved issues, because now is the time that when you go into execution, you might just get them back, and then you need resolutions around them. So the project kickoff meeting agenda shall include following important aspects: detail of information, communication exchange, authorities, who's going to communicate what, and going to talk on what topics, how they're going to talk about it, and how they're going to resolve that. Documentation required, and exchange procedures. So because there are internal and external customers, it is important that I work around exchange policy of my documents as well with them. Then details of information, communication exchange, authorities, approval requirement, procedure and duration, scope and delivery requirements, quality control procedures and authorities. So all of these, if we need to remember it in one go or in one breath, how do I do it? My kickoff meeting needs to have following things. What are those? The first is information of the entire project. Second is documentation, which is of the entire project. Third is the approval at every stage that I require for the entire project. Fourth is the scope and the delivery for the entire project. And fifth, but not the last thing, is of course quality of the entire. So I need to have these five things absolutely spick and span ready before I go for a project kickoff meeting. So project kickoff meeting will help you to build formal communication link and help to expedite the same with customers. With these meetings, the stage of collecting requirements should be closed. So once I have my project kickoff meeting, that's where we say formally we close the requirement. Now, it also depends upon what type of project is that. If I'm in a project which is more on agile format, then the requirements might keep coming in. However, a non-agile project will freeze the requirement at this stage. This takes us to the next part of it, which is called consolidation of requirements received. So if you remember, integration and consolidation are two important aspects of project management and a true skill of a project manager. So the input requirement provided by the stakeholders considering all the aspects of project management may not be in sequence or order of the project management, and they must be there must be stakeholders, those are involved in the project management, for more than one aspect of the project management. Also, there are many requirements which is common for more than one stakeholder. For example, human resource or finance. So important is I consolidate this information. To give you an example, my finance person or my service person or my quality person, typically quality for that matter, is a part of every process in my project, and hence my quality has a dual role. It has a role of controlling, it has a role of monitoring. So it is important that my quality people are aware of all the entire process of the project. So because quality is an integral part, my finance is an integral part. So it's good and it's important that my finance people know about the entire project and its phases. So that's what it talks about of when I say consolidation. So I need to consolidate, make it into a doc, convert it into a document to ensure that everybody in my whoever is important for my project from end to end is informed about what the project is and how is it moving. Hence, these inputs requirements need segregation, sorting, and consolidation of to facilitate further action simultaneously. So now what has happened? You have got everything that is required for the project, human resource, people, processes, systems, market intelligence, government policies, organizational assets. Everything is now there with you. You have a rough plan and a macro level plan, and then now you are segregating it. So it's like a farming process, So you've now got the field which is raw, and now you've got to sort out, pluck different quality and different types of it. So let me give you an example. If I have a potato farm, and I sow the seeds out there, I'm going to get a lot of potatoes. But however, the market is going to take test it based on its quality, its size, its color, and a lot of other things. So now it's a time of a project manager that now the field is done. Your job is to ensure that you segregate the information correctly so that it yields good results for you. So obviously, the first criteria for such segregation will be the project management aspects, such as interfacing and integration of the project, scope, cost, quality, human resource, information and communication, risk, procurement, and stakeholders. Well, we're going to talk about all of them and how do I consolidate and segregate this information in these following areas. Under each of these project management aspects, these requirements are further classified into project management systems related to design, engineering, estimated leads, resource-related information communication requirements, logistics, and a lot of other similar requirements. Project management systems related requirements, again, these requirements cover mainly the plans and procedures that are required for setting up the entire process. So processes that will define the organizational strategies, procedures, documents, roles, responsibilities, and authorities. For example, that's there on the slide, it says that the quality management aspect that requires for defining quality management plan, quality control process, quality control documents, and etc. will appear in these categories. So once I have the related documents to quality, so every aspect of it, so quality will have to be answered in six different questions now that we keep talking. Design and engineering and estimated related requirements. These mainly cover requirements of executing the design, engineering, and estimate parts of projects and designing, the generating the design, engineering documents, and estimation data. For example, design standards specified by the customer, design software, document identification, unique number system, very, very categorically used. In fact, if you realize, even a human resource has been tagged under number so that we are very, very clear at what number is the individual putting in, at what phase the individual will come in, because it's not the human being who's tagged, its role has been tagged ideally. So, numbering system, documentation exchange and approval schedules, professional services, standard data for estimation purpose. Why is it important to have a standard estimation purpose is because lots and lots of people in today's project management area, when we have a lot of people working at different locations, I need to have people on the common page. If I don't have people on the common page, it's not going to work for me. So, hence, you need to have a standard format of your communication. One, hence you also need to have a correct numbering system for every activity that's happening, and ensure that it's a unique numbering system. The reason it has to be unique is because unless I do not have a unique system in place for numbering, I'm not going to, you know, if I want to go back to some activity and check how it's done during my monitoring stage, it is not going to help me if I do not number it correctly or I have a order to it. So I need to have an order while I'm ensuring to go back while monitoring and controlling. Resource requirement and consolidation of requirement received, resources related requirement. So resources related requirement, what could be the resources of a project? It could be in terms of human resource, it could be in terms of material. So, for example, in this, you have human resource, basic information structure for execution. I need an office, I need a computer, I need a fax machine, I need a telephone, I need a mobile. These are basic requirements. So, you know, I have handling material, computer, printers, and a lot of other things. Manufacturing equipment, if I have a project that's more in manufacturing side, I require manufacturing equipment. Materials for specification at required time and in required quantities, etc. So that's the document of requirement gathering for materials that I would require. Consolidation of requirement received. So information and communication requirement. So what could be the information and communication required? If you realize anything that is related to information, whether it is through a format of Excel, to a format of PowerPoints, to a format of Word documents, or to a format of ERPs and a high-end SAP as well. So this is information and communication required. So it also tells me what will be the different nodes where my information will flow. So as I told you in beginning, that not necessary that every information goes to every stakeholder of the organization. So I need to have clear node of communication where I will tag people into different groups for which the communication has to be floated. So in this case, if you read through the slide, we have information and communication requirement shall cover the time of information required. Communication requirements shall cover the contact details. The medium of communication, number of copies for the communication. Form of communication, whether it's soft or hard, advanced duration of a communication, and expected response duration of a communication. If you remember in the last chapter, I also spoke about that I have a personal commitment of replying emails within 48 hours that I've received them. So that's a standard protocol that I follow, and I've adopted this from project point of view. From project point of view, if I'm a completely dedicated resource for the project, my email response time should not be more than 24 hours. So these are standards that you make around it. When you're talking on a con call, the conference call, there are etiquettes or conference call. When you're on a video call, there are etiquettes of video call. So you've got to mention all these things during your communication plan, and the frequency of your communication is also important. So how frequent are you going to have focus group discussions? How frequent are you going to have brainstorming discussions? How frequent will you do a survey? How frequent will, so all of these, the frequency of your communication also would be incorporated in this complete event. Similarly, the medium of communication, so I will not have a focus group discussion over a telephone or a conference call, audio conference call. I might go for a video conference call or a in-person meeting. If I need to have a focused interview or a root cause analysis, who will be involved into it? Will my quality be involved into it, or I will also require my finance? So all of this information is being stored in the communication plan that you have. So logistics and a lot of other issues as well. Logistic requirement covers mainly, what does it cover? It covers the transportation, accommodation of my human resource at the site, or meeting venues that I want to build up for focus group discussions and brainstorming. It talks about transportation, loading and unloading, receipts that I need to give in. If I have a huge equipment, then how I'm going to store about it, packaging, preserving, all of this is falling under logistics. It is not addressed, it is not addressed and documented properly. These may create issues for firefighting and may also put brakes onto the project progress. Let's look at the other aspect of it, which we're talking about: analysis and evaluation of inputs received from stakeholders. It is necessary to analyze, evaluate, and complete evaluate the complete and consolidated requirement before these are approved, incorporated in the official project document that will be generated and used in a subsequent phase of the project. Project management and execution. Following probing questions will be useful during the analysis. So what are those questions? Is it mandatory as per the project contract, project specifications? So that's evaluation. I'm trying to evaluate and analyze from the resources, whether it's a correct thing, or from the focus group discussion, that is it a correct thing that we're doing? Is it validated correctly? Is it adding any value? Very, very important question when I move on to analysis and evaluation. Will it call for any change in the organizational strategy? So I might apply something right now which looks good, but it's going to have a long-term effect on my organizational strategy. Very important questions that you can use and are very useful during the analysis and evaluation. Few more questions. Is it possible to meet the requirement within available norms or resources? If no, what are the alternatives available? Now that also is a question that helps me to understand my risk at the end of the day. What is the impact on project for meeting scope, quality, and schedule? So as I said about the triple constraint, if you remember, which is more talking about the scope, my time, and my budgets. If it's going to impact that, then what I need to do, take actions on. What is the basics of estimation of the requirement? Is it only basis possible, or it is not? Which means if I've said, okay, I require $100,000 for a product to be imported, what is the basis of that $100,000? Are you getting it because there's no other choice? Have you checked up the different vendors? So these questions actually validate a project and the system and the money and the time that you're incorporating in a project. The other questions are these estimations correct and close to reality? Because it's important that I validate where am I investing and how am I investing. Do these activities need any control? If yes, what is the extent? So do I really very closely monitor it? So to give you an example of a tough control mechanism is like a diamond industry. So if you go to a jewelry and diamond industry, very strict control mechanism is incorporated because every diamond will cost you millions for that matter. So hence control mechanisms are very strong in the jewelry industry and the diamond industry. Is this requirement call for any capital investments? So do I need any capital investments for this project? Or do I require anything right at the advance so that I can run this project, or I need it at short term intervals or long term basis? What is that investment that I want? What is going to the impact on the organizational business for meeting or not meeting the requirements? So just look at this. I mean, we're talking about what is going to impact the organization business. Is it for meetings or not meetings for required? So important is I have a frequent meeting around this with my stakeholders. Few more things on analysis and evaluation received from stakeholders. You will find the result outcome of the analysis and evaluation of the requirement on basis. Consideration shall be helpful to take the decision. Accept and incorporate the requirement as it is. Accept and incorporate the requirement partially. Reject the requirement for justification and incorporate the revision in the organizational policies. So what happens if I actually evaluate is what it talks about. It either gives me a new way of using it, either gives me a partial way of using it. I either reject the complete project because it does not have justifications, or I will incorporate it as a revision of the organizational policy. Few more things: approval, disapproval of capital investments with justification and alternatives. Analysis and evaluation will also be helpful to work out estimation and breakdown budgets. Work out an estimate of human resource requirement, which will also get down my budgets. Identify the controls that I need. Where do I need to put the toll gates every time? Identify the control stages. Identify the stages at required. The requirement can be met. Provide overall clarity to the project manager and key stakeholders. Very, very important that I have the clarity around.